Praise God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to His word, and indeed we do not take it for granted for the grace, for the ability, for the time in His presence. And I want to assure you that any moment with the Lord is never in vain. Now today we'll look at the word of God, and we're carrying on in the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 4. And we're basically in the story where Peter and John have healed this man that is born lame from the mother's womb. And by the name of Jesus, they told him, "Silver and gold we do not have, or I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they held him by his hand, by the right hand, and the man's feet and legs regained strength, and he was made perfect. He had perfect soundness. Now, of course, you will think that such a miracle would bring everyone to obedience, would bring everyone happy. But you see, yes, the people were happy, the crowd were happy, because they knew this man. This man was 40 years old. He was lame from the mother's womb, and we say that this lameness happened in the mother's womb because God does not create us lame or injured, but the enemy brings in interruptions. But that is why we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for them while they're in the womb. We need to cover them with the blood of Jesus at each and every point. And what we see is that the man was born lame from the mother's womb, and he was healed by Peter and John. But then opposition comes, and this comes from the Sadducees, who are first of all concerned that why are they preaching about the resurrection, because they were saying this man was healed in the name of Jesus, who is alive, who God raised from the dead. And so the Sanhedrin arrested them and brought them before the people, and they asked them, "Why, by what name did you heal, or by what power did you heal?" And we're able to see how Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was taught what to say in that very moment. And that is something that is very important, that in that very moment you shall be taught what to say. And this is what we looked at yesterday, that at that moment it will not be you speaking, but it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you, and you shall be taught in that very hour what to say. And when you are taught that, then you are able to speak, and they were able to speak and to tell them for clearly that this is the stone that the builders rejected, and it has now become the cornerstone, referring to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by whom this man stands before you whole. And they clearly told them, "Look here, there is no other name in heaven or under heaven by which men must be saved, but by the name of Jesus, for there is salvation in no other name." Yeah, and then so now the council were they able to see the boldness of Peter and John, and they understood, they perceived that these were uneducated men, untrained, and we're explaining that the training of the Pharisees or the Sadducees was a minimum of 15 to 20 years. And so they knew those who are in their classes, they knew those who were taught by them, like Paul, who was Saul then, was under the tutelage of Gamaliel, and he knew that this was a doctor of the law. So they knew their classmates. But now there arose a people with a unique language, with people who are boldly speaking the scriptures, and they were able to connect and to do something with a power that they did not have in their classes. And by this power, they were able to make a man 40 years lame from the mother's womb to be able to walk, to be able to jump, to be able to praise God, and for everyone to see a notable miracle. And they understood, and the Bible says they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And they seeing the man standing before them, there is nothing they could say against it. So the only thing that they could do is they could command them. They command them that, look here, so that this name does not spread forward, you must not preach under this name. You must not preach in this name. And the Bible says, verse 17, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now onwards, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what has been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now, we're going to see actually now the power of the church or the power of the ecclesia. Why? Because the ecclesia refers to the called out assembly. You know, the scriptures, when they speak of the word ecclesia, it refers to the church. And this word ecclesia is actually a Greek word in which in the city of Athens, men would meet, like all the men in the city used to meet. Initially, it used to be once a month, but then it was later increased to three or four times a month. And these men will gather, they will vote on issues of the city, they will vote and they will make a decision, and their rulings were considered final. So whenever the ecclesia, whenever the assembly met together, it was an opportunity to make decisions, and they would actually vote. And I was looking at some of the literature. They were saying that some of these Athenians, they will even have soldiers who will go around the city during the time of the ecclesia, and if they find anyone loitering, they will apply on them some red ochre, some red paint of sorts, and this was to mark those who missed the assembly. And these ones, they received a penalty. They were punished for it. So the ecclesia was a powerful instrument that would gather the gathering of the people, and they will meet together to legislate, to make laws, and to rule over issues that concerned their city. Now, likewise, the same word is used for the church, but it is used in a different way in the church because it is an assembly, but it is not just an assembly. It is a called out assembly. What does it mean called out? They are called out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They are called out from the world into the kingdom of God. They are called out to be a different. Remember, the Bible tells us that touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. And this is what God's word says. And this is, you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. God calls out that come out from them. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. So when we are speaking of the church, of the ecclesia, we are speaking of an assembly of called out people who God has called out, who Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on the earth is that which is loosed in heaven. That is to tell you that the keys of the kingdom of heaven were given to the church. They were given to the ecclesia, and that means that there is great power when the church, when the body of the church gathers together in prayer. I know God answers us individually, there is no doubt. I know God hears the prayers of anyone at any point in trouble, but I can assure you there is a greater power when the body, the entire body of the church, gathers together. They will call it a sacred assembly. In the Old Testament, they will say, let us call for a solemn assembly, a gathering of the people to fast together, to pray together, that God may intervene in this situation. Think of the times of the kings when they were faced by trouble, and they will gather together, pray together, and then the word of the Lord will come through the Holy Spirit falling upon an individual, and the prophetic word will be released. And likewise, when the ecclesia gather together, what happens is that the Lord comes to join them. Why? Because we are his body, and the Bible tells us that the body without the Spirit is dead. So when the body of Christ gathers together, the corporate body, what the Lord comes is that he comes by his Spirit to the body, and he releases life. He releases a physical manifestation of his power. He releases a word. He releases an answer to meet the need. And this assembly that is gathered is able to legislate over the affairs of the city, over the affairs of a nation, over the affairs of situations. And I assure you, as a church, we will need to gather from time to time to solve the issues that are facing our nation, to solve the issues that are facing the church. Maybe it is a land issue. Maybe it is a sickness issue. Maybe it is a national issue. But these are issues that need the legislation of the church. They need the assembly of the church. They need the church to be gathered together and to pray together in one accord. And really, ideally, this is what we see the early church was facing. They were together. They have just received this significant number of threats. They were told never to preach again in the name of Jesus. They were warned by the council, by the Sanhedrin. You know, they were warned clearly to not preach again in the name of Jesus. But the Bible tells us that the church gathered together and they went to pray. And this is what we are reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, the Bible says, verse 24, Acts chapter 4, verse 24. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Look at the unity of their prayer. They raised together. They now gathered as the ecclesia, the holy assembly, the assembly of God, like the assembly that was in the wilderness. Remember, God said for himself, I will call for myself a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this is the church. This is the ecclesia. And the Bible says, so when they raised their voice to God with one accord, it was one voice, it was one prayer. They were united. And they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things, or plot in vain? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and his Christ. Now, and the Bible says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, where they were meeting together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, and later on you will see how now the church came together, they lived together, they shared together. But I just want us to focus today on this prayer that they made. Now, one of the things that you will see is that they used scripture to pray to God. They adored God. They are clear that God, it is you who made everything. You have all power, all authority on the heavens, on the earth, on the sea, and all that is in them. That means that even if they are water spirits or their kingdom under the water, everything under the sea, it is God that made them. It is God that has the authority. It is God that has authority over everything. And they now say, and I love how do they put it, why did the nations rage? They're not even speaking of, you know, of the present, you know, because I think in Psalms chapter 2, where this scripture comes from, why do the nations rage? It was more of like, it was not even the, about why did. Now, to them, they're like, it is a past tense issue. And this is what amazed me when I just looked at it now. I said, in Psalms, it was why do the nations, because it was speaking of the future. Why are they raging against the Christ? But you see, the apostles are like, even in the past, they are saying, why did the nations rage in the past? What were they thinking coming against the Lord and his Christ? The kings, they gathered together, the rulers gathered, Pontius Pilate, Herod, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, they all gathered together and they were opposing the Christ. But the Bible says that, what did God do? He looked from on high and he laughed. He laughed. The Holy One, the one who sits on the throne, laughs, because even though they did that, it was only by your predetermined purpose that you allowed them to have power over the Christ at that moment to crucify him. But you raised him. You raised him, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority. And now the Bible says, and they said, now God, look at their threats. See what they're saying against the church. They're commanding us not to preach in the name of Jesus. They're commanding us not to honor God, not to worship God. And he said, look upon their threats and give us boldness that we may speak your word. And how is it to give them boldness? Not only just to speak the word, but also beyond that, also stretch your hand to heal. And this is a prayer that we can make. God, give us boldness to speak the word of God. Not only give us boldness, stretch out your hand, heal. Give us healing in our midst. Give us the ministry of healing. Give us the anointing to heal. Give us healing in our midst, that anyone that comes that we pray for, they are healed in their bodies. And the Bible says that signs and wonders may be done through them in your name of your holy servant. They asked for boldness. They asked for healing. And they also ask for signs and wonders to be done in the name of Jesus. And I love how God does it. When the church gathers together, when the ecclesia gathers together, when there is unity in purpose, unity in prayer, in one accord, when they have the same word, they want the preaching of the word of God. They want boldness to preach the word of God. And remember, to God, God's heart is a heart of missions. God's heart is one that wants souls, wants men to be saved. And of course, God would always answer that prayer. And the Bible says, how did God answer? The Bible says, immediately the place where they were praying was shaken. That means God gave them a physical manifestation of his presence. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and there was outpouring of the Spirit. Either there were, you know, manifestations, there were feeling, there were signs that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The ecclesia gathered together and they legislated against the legislation of the Sanhedrin. Look at it. The council of the Israelites, the chief priest Caiaphas, you know, all these people who are named, they gathered together as an ecclesia of sorts. They gathered to legislate against the church. But the church also gathered together, hallelujah, as ecclesia, and they legislated. They cried out to God, and God answered them, and they made a ruling that we are going to preach the word of God boldly. And this we see now, the power of the ecclesia, the power of the called out assembly of God, standing forth, declaring an end to those threats, declaring that they need boldness to counter those threats. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The answer of God came through the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The ground was shaken. And the Bible says they spoke the word of God with boldness. The end result of all those physical manifestations must still be to preach the word of God. Let us preach the word of God with boldness. Let us preach the word of God with courage. Let us preach the word of God with the anointing. Let us preach the word of God. And I pray that God will manifest his power, his presence to us, that we shall experience his grace in a mighty way in our lives, and that this day we shall see the hand of God in our lives. Let us gather together as the ecclesia of God. Let us gather together as the church of God. Let us gather together as the called out assembly of God. And let us take our stand over every issue that affects us as a body of Christ. And we shall see the power of God in our lives. I pray that God be your strength. God be your portion this day. And God strengthen and guide you. In all these things, may his hand rest upon you. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning ahead. Bye.